In the spring of 1806, I, Clarissa Munger Badger, was born here in Madison at the time when the town was still called East Guilford. My childhood home stood on the Boston Post Road near the Neck River, and I was raised within a household where the creation of art was both a pastime and a source of income. My father, George Munger, earned a comfortable living as a portrait painter and engraver, and from him I learned early that fine art is the result of a faithful hand, a patient eye, and much practice. My mother, Parnell Kelsey Munger, governed our home with quiet strength, and she encouraged in me the habits of attention and perseverance that later benefited me more than any formal schooling. My brother George Nicholas, who was some years older than I, also possessed great inventive ability, as well as talent in drawing and painting, and my sister Caroline applied herself with remarkable precision to miniature portraits on ivory in the manner of our father. From my earliest memories, I was immersed in a home environment that was both appreciative of and dependent on art making. While portraiture occupied the chief attention of my father and siblings, my own inclination turned increasingly toward the natural world. The flowers that grew in our fields, gardens, and woods drew me with irresistible force, and I sought to copy them directly from life with all the care I could command. I was never content with mere outlines. Rather, I labored to render their forms, colors, and expressions as I saw them in their season. From these early studies arose the pursuit that would remain with me throughout my life. At the age of 22, a bit later than other women of my day, I married the Reverend Milton Badger. He had attended Yale College, Andover Theological Seminary, and Yale Divinity School, and at the time of our marriage had just been ordained as pastor of the Old South Church in Andover, Massachusetts. Our years in Andover were full of labor, hospitality, and responsibility, and during that time, I endeavored to unite my duties as wife and mother with my devotion to art. Milton and I were blessed with 5 children, though only 2 of our sons, George and William, reached adulthood. During my time in Andover, I spent my idle time painting the bountiful wildflowers that grew nearby. As my artwork accumulated, I organized it into volumes for private use and for gifts among friends. After 7 years in Andover, my husband, with some reluctance, left his beloved pastorate to accept the position of Associate Secretary of the American Home Missionary Society, a change that began our residence of more than 3 decades in New York City. The demands of his work were heavy and unremitting, but I continued my own quiet pursuits whenever circumstances allowed. It was during this period that I had the idea of combining my drawings with poetry. For what could honor the beauty of an image more than the words of a poem? When I was 42 years of age, I created a small volume entitled A Forget-Me-Not, Flowers from Nature with Selected Poetry, published under the name C. M. Badger. For each of 13 flower paintings, I carefully chose an accompanying poem penned by an author I admired. I did not seek to circulate my work widely, however. My publication was born only of affection and was shared chiefly among friends. You might have noticed my likeness, painted around this time by Nathaniel Jocelyn, which reflected the outward station I then occupied as the wife of a minister engaged in national religious labors. In 1859, Publisher Charles Scribner accepted and produced a second volume of my work under the title Wildflowers, Drawn and Colored from Nature. This book contained 22 hand-colored lithographic plates featuring such native North American wildflowers as columbine, violet, trailing arbutus, cardinal flower, and others familiar in our fields and at our roadsides. I endeavored to paint them true to size and with fidelity, while also arranging them in a manner that would speak to the heart as well as to the eye. The verses accompanying these plates were chiefly my own, with an introductory poem by my esteemed friend Lydia Sigourney. This volume found a warm reception, and I was told that the illustrations were regarded among the finest of their kind in America. I later learned with gratitude that the poet Emily Dickinson owned a copy that had been presented to her by her father, and that it held a place among her valued books. My third volume, also with Scribner, was entitled Floral Bells from the Greenhouse and Garden. In this work, I turned my attention to cultivated flowers and arranged them more frequently in clusters or bouquets of two or three blooms. I hoped to express their decorative grace as well as their individual character. 16 plates were included, and the poems were selected from my own writings and from the work of such poets as Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and Felicia Hemans. The volume was issued as a large and carefully executed folio and received generous praise for its care, taste, and delicacy of touch. Though I was aware that other female artists often labored to be recognized, I was grateful to be able to take my own work to its fullest expression. With my firm belief that art should enter the world of domestic life, I also applied my floral designs to textiles. I painted flowers upon silk, for example, including the quilt you see before you now, composed of panels on which I rendered embroidered and painted botanical designs. As my husband's health declined, we returned to my beloved Madison to be nearer to family and to find rest from the labors of the city. After Milton's death, I remained in our home, supported by my sons and by the kindness of extended family, friends, and neighbors. At 75 years of age, I was still engaged in the study of flowers, finding in that work both occupation and consolation. My days ended in my dear town of Madison on the 14th of December in 1889. I had lived 83 years and was laid to rest beside my husband in West Cemetery. Today, as you hear my story and view my work, it is my hope that you will be inspired to appreciate the simple beauty all around you in the natural world. Even more, I hope that my legacy might encourage you to take up your own pen or paintbrush or needle. You may find, as I did, that the act of creating art can be a way to find comfort, peace, and solace throughout your life.